Hi, Danielle.
Hello, Casey.
Hi.
How are you?
I mean, I went to get a mole removed, and the doctor said something that was pretty amazing. This older guy, he was so sweet. He goes, "Other than the state of the world, are you in pain?" And he was dead serious. I was like, what a beautiful question to ask people, you know?
Gosh, I need, you know what? That is the pain. It is the pain.
Other than the state of the world, are you in pain?
I mean, yes, every day, but.
Yes, I mean, but. Not in comparison. I'm not.
No, I'm not. Casey, it's been a while since we've been back together.
Yes, back together, back at it. And we have a wonderful guest.
Yes, we do. But can I also tell you that I listen, you know, I don't watch Sister Wives, but I listened to the Sister Wives podcast.
Oh my gosh, just as a listener?
As a listener, I just wanted to feel it, you know?
And what did you think?
I loved it. And I was like, why have I not been watching this show? But I almost don't need to.
Right. You know, or do you need to?
Or do I not?
Right. Do you need to lose 100 hours of your life or 300? Or can you just listen to that one hour?
I just had a gorgeous hour listening to my very smart, funny, gorgeous friends tell me everything I needed to know. I honestly don't feel like I missed out. And yet I could hear you guys talk about it 100. Like, I was just very interested and I learned so much, things I didn't even know. It was incredible.
Well, for a show like Sister Wives with a small to medium followership, mm-hmm. You know, we do have a lot more to say. And we were remiss and upset that it ended after an hour and a half, which seems like a long time. Like, you're going to cover it all.
I breezed through it. I went to Austin to South by Southwest.
Yeah.
I just got home today and I listened to it on my way. Like,
well, God bless, because we decided, you know, in a couple of months, we might 3 months revisit and recollect ourselves. And there might be more. So I just want to like put that out as a warning.
I loved it. I'm just going to say, as a listener, Bitch Sesh is a great podcast.
I love it. I love it. You're finally getting to listen.
Just hear what the other.
Well, so many people were like, never seen a frame of Sister Wives, but thank you.
Yes, that's what I mean, Casey. That's all I needed. And it was enough. And I laughed. I cried. I really enjoyed myself. So I just, and you know, I have many other podcasts on the docket and this was the one I chose. And I don't have a lot of time, mind you.
No, you don't. In fact, you're working on a very special project we can't discuss right now, but it is mind blowing. It's going to explode everybody's minds and hearts.
I'm still like in shock. It's so awful.
I know. We have a lot to discuss with you. You're going to be please know, everybody, Danielle Schneider is going to be the ultimate boot on the ground at something we're all going to want to hear about.
Yes, it's going to be. I'm in shock.
It's very exciting.
Yes, I'm in shock. But anyway.
But speaking of in shock, Danielle.
Casey.
Okay. Now, something happened this week that is, I don't know if it's like we've made it or we've crashed and burned.
When I heard it, I was like, I had so many emotions. I want to say I had every emotion. Fear.
Me too.
Excitement.
Arousal.
Yes.
Jealousy.
Nausea. Titillation. So many.
Every single one.
And what are we talking about, Casey?
So what we're referring to is that in this week's final episode of the Salt Lake City reunion, part trace, Andy Cohen referred to our podcast. Now, not by name.
Yes. No, he gave us the, you know, I'm glad he didn't say our name, because as we say, no tagging. He did refer to a podcast, which we all know was ours truly. As I mentioned before, this wonderful podcast, Bitch Sesh, I've been listening to.
Yeah, that you like and you want to tell people about.
I'm going to say number one.
Honestly, we should just do ads on here promoting our own podcast. And I guess that's what we do with like our live shows. But like, I appreciate you promoting us here.
I am promoting it. And
yeah, why not? We're a better place. What better place?
I'm promoting it as a listener.
You've never worn that hat.
No, and I guess what? Felt right. I don't want to wear it all the time, but it was a fun place to be. But anyway, as you know, to hear our podcast spoken about, he didn't name us, but it was terrifying because we say no tagging, and that is the ultimate tag. And yet, I don't believe that Jen will be. She's bigger fish to fry right now than finding out which podcast it was that talked to the Uber driver. And yet, I do I do think that she doesn't realize that she has fish to fry and might come after us.
Well, I'm also like, oh God, I hope Heather still likes us, you know? And like, you know, it was tough because I will be honest with you. What were your, if someone hasn't seen it, what was said, Danielle? Can you?
He basically said, now, Jen, there's a podcast that went out there. It's out there that interviewed the Uber driver that you went with. And he said you were brought to like a different location. And she basically said, that's a lie. And, you know, didn't break a sweat, but did say
to question our sources.
We are not journalists, but how, and we always say we do not stand by our sources or anything we say. And yet, how could you question us?
How could you ever question who we bring on and put in front of this microphone?
We have only said half truths constantly.
We have only undermined, exploited.
We have only said many false things on this podcast. And yet I stand by this one with no proof and know that this gentleman, who was lovely, could have been made up out of thin air. I do not know.
Look, I stand with the Uber driver.
I always stand with Uber drivers.
Our guest, even though I have a pretty low Uber rating, that's because I never seem to be able to get out in time. And so it's not great. But I'm the only one in the history of persons who clicks the button, preferences to talk.
You are.
David said that makes me a sociopath.
I've never offered. I don't know where that offering is.
Okay. Well, there's an offering that says, like, if your preference is for no talking or talking, and I proudly click talk.
Well, I don't.
As we know, we never know what, you know, we could have a source here.
I know. You don't know who's going to be a boot on the ground. I will say that my Uber rating is quite high.
Well, I mean, it's like I'm talking, you know, maybe that's why it's slow.
I think it's you not getting out there on time.
Because I think the conversation, I come back around, you know? Mm-hmm. We spin right round, baby. okay, so we were mentioned on the Salt Lake City Union.
Which was terrifying.
So many of you reached out, and I was a little late getting to it, and man, oh man, was I scared. My hands were like shaking when the first couple DMs came through.
I don't know. I was just kind of like, ugh. In terms of like, oh no, what does this mean? But I wasn't.
I was scared Jen was going to have like a Jen-like response and like go off. But honestly, she didn't. And I think we're back to one, really.
Yeah, I think she's, you know, not that we want her on, but I think she'd come on.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. So that was just, it was both a thrill and it was scary. Terrifying. And now I'm like, oh, whatever. It happened. Great.
Yeah, I mean, she hasn't come for us yet, but, you know, guys, no tagging. Like, don't tell her what podcast it was. I would love
Please, that. Please don't. And I will say, though, for the reunion, for us to have touched so many lives in the reunion with both Akilah's question.
Yes.
Getting asked, which you spoke about.
Yes.
And now this, it just feels really like, why didn't part one have anything to do with us?
Yeah, well, it feels like we really got in there. It feels like we infiltrated, that we were there. We were another character on the couch.
We were like the poles in the pole fishing.
I was
fishing.
Diamonds on her gloves, on Jen Shaw's gloves that she had to take off for sound problems.
That's exactly who we are.
Now, Casey, I had a tough thing happen this week. And again, there are tougher things that happen in the world. So just know that this is nothing compared. But, you know, as I said, I just got back from Austin, went to South by Southwest to do some shit hose. And it was also my daughter's spring break. So we kind of did it all. And we had, you know, we packed a big luggage. It was three of us. So we packed like a big like Samsonite, you know, like basically it looks like a rectangle. And it's not a trunk, but a big Samsonite kind of like luggage.
Suitcase?
Valise. But like big and structured. Know that it's like got like hard wires. Kind of, you know what I mean? Like it's.
Where in the world are we going with this? I'm intrigued. Color me intrigued. Okay, I know that it's structured. Okay, got it.
It's structured and hard, okay?
Like, structured and hard. Roger that.
So then, you know, get on the flight, come back, and our luggage, a piece of luggage drops down from, you know, in the baggage claim. And my daughter says, well, that's our suitcase. And I said, no, that's the same color, but our suitcase isn't that shape. That's a triangle.
Yeah, our suitcase is hard and structured, Sydney.
Yeah, I said, that's not. And she goes, no, it has the little ribbon on it. Casey, what I saw.
What happened? Whatever happened?
unclear. I feel that, first of all, the luck, again, I want to say it's a structured rectangle, cannot be broken. What I saw in front of me was a shape that looked like a Christmas tree.
Okay. Okay.
It was so shocking to see a shape that I hadn't seen before in my luggage. Like, Kissy, it's as if it was flying outside the plane. I don't know.
Okay. What? Right. Like they dropped it from the plane.
From the plane. Like it dropped and then the plane came down. Like from my.
And then the plane ran over it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've never seen a piece of luggage so disfigured. Casey. I'm still not. I don't know how it, I'm going to show you.
You seem more rattled by this than by the Salt Lake news.
No, this rattled me because it was just like, I know I keep saying the word structured, but you would have had to.
Yeah, you really do.
You would have, I don't know what you had to do.
Right,
to
it's like you're taking a baseball bat. You're.
Yes, like what happened? The only thing I can think of is that it dropped from the plane, from space.
And so what do you do then? You just keep saying to yourself, my suitcase used to be structured and now it's unstructured?
No. We went to the airline and they were nonplussed. We were just like, how does this happen? Like, what did
they
you do?
They got bigger fish to fry.
They were just like, oof. Yeah. Like, nobody cared. They offered us a voucher on the airline for like $150. We were like, I don't ever want to fly this airline again. This is terrible. Like, what has happened? We just want like a new piece of luggage. Like,
were you able to repack it on the way back?
It was hard. The zippers were no longer zipping into
shape. Oh my God. The zippers as you knew them were not.
As we knew them were gone. That life was gone. So we had to.
Right. It's like suddenly you're a radical acceptance. I have a new life.
We have a new life. We must proceed.
With a new structure, literally.
Yeah, literally a new structure. And so, I mean, it was so wild to zip, to unzip and to zip were just totally different. It was just a different piece of luck. Like it was just, life didn't work the same way. You know what I mean? And so we had to make do in a short time and pack things into other bags. And it was just, I mean, I'm still in shock. And I know that luggage things happen. But guys, when I tell you, I don't know how, I can't put my mind, like you couldn't just drop another piece of luggage on that. Like,
seems like you want this like a kind of a, you know how sometimes people take on these true crimes?
Yes,
and maybe
yes.
People could do some just thinking outside the structured box.
So anyway, I'm still just, I'm reeling from it a little in that I just
I had no
know.
Idea what you'd been through.
Yeah. Like it's just, I don't know what happened. I just want to know what makes something.
One, a suitcase becomes so unstructured.
Yes. To become a totally different thing.
Hmm.
So,
it's a metaphor, anyway. Danielle. It's a metaphor.
Yeah, it's just, and look,
life rocks us. Life can rock us.
Yeah, life can change shape and we have
life
to
can
adapt.
Unzip.
Yeah, and not be able to zip it back up. You have to put life into different bags and sometimes you have to wear more clothes than you want to.
And sometimes you have to leave some stuff behind.
Yeah, sometimes you can't take all the swag you got there.
No metaphor for that.
You're giving away lots of.
And oh, sure. We were going good till swag. Well, I'm so sorry that happened, Danielle.
Yeah, again, bigger things happening in the world. It was just something that I felt the need to bring up. I didn't even mention the airline. I don't want people to suffer. I just want.
It's very nice of you to protect that small business.
Small business that does.
You know, Danielle, before we go to break, I just want to plug a movie I saw that I find. And found to be a masterpiece, a literal masterpiece. Mm-hmm. And that is Pixar's Turning Red.
My daughter saw it too, and she loved it. I didn't watch it with her because I was
Danielle.
Is it so good?
Oh, because you were packing that big suitcase,
I
huh?
was! It took hours!
God, all comes back to this goddamn suitcase.
But my daughter loved it.
It's, Danielle, it's next level.
Wow.
Next level storytelling animation. It's funny as fuck. You know, it's the first female director at Pixar, but it's just a delight. I watched it with my kids, then watched it alone myself last night.
I'm going to watch it by myself.
It is us as little girls. I just can't describe it. Sandra Oh is everything. It's so good. It's hilarious and profound.
Well, Pixar,
you know, like a lot of Pixar movies, you're like, I like this, but I'm crying. But do I really like it? This one, you're like, I fucking love it. I just have to throw that out there.
I'm
kids
so
and adults. I'm Kulap and I are obsessed. And it's about how this little girl, a red panda, comes out when she gets too angry or emotional. And so now it's panda this, panda that for me. I'm like, my panda's out. My panda's in.
Well, I thought
sounds like your panda was out. When
my
your
panda's out. My panda's been and out.
Your suitcase is panda, frankly.
Yes. I thought for some reason I had heard like it was about puberty and getting your period.
Yes,
or
it's
like
a, it's a kind of metaphor for that. Yeah.
Yes. And so I was telling Sydney it's about getting your period. And she was like, no. She disagrees.
Yeah, that's it. Flew over my kid's head, but yeah,
I can't wait. I'm gonna watch it tonight.
It's truly a beacon in these times.
Oh, I need it. I'd like something
so joyful, so specific, and I just think everyone listening to this podcast will absolutely love it.
Oh, I'm so happy.
Danielle, should we take a break and let's pull ourselves back together the way your suitcase cannot?
No, thank you, Casey, for recognizing it and bringing it and speaking of it, this loss.
You know, I wish you'd given me some warning about what we were going to talk about.
Do I need to put?
Yeah, because I didn't know how deeply this would affect you.
When I show you a picture, it's going to affect you.
Okay. No, I'm affected by. You don't even need to show me. I'm affected by what you're affected.
Thank you. Thank you,
Casey. Okay. Much like the gal pals of May May, the character in Turning Red, are affected by when her panda comes out. You know, these are friendships. This is at the core. This is all about female friendships.
I love that.
Yeah. Let's take a break and come back with our fabulous guest.
Guys, we're here with a very exciting guest. And I don't know that we had met her, but we had met her because she had been at live shows before and participated and placed, will you say, at our Hollywood
yes,
shows? Placed.
I absolutely would say. And I have photos of myself with this gorgeous gal and a gentleman she brought with her. We'll get into who this gentleman was, but they did a couple's costume.
Yes, it was fantastic.
That was, I posted on my Instagram. It was so good. It burned into my brain. And it also had a physical action associated
yes!
with it. It wasn't just like, here's our costumes, you know?
No, they became the people.
Yeah, this was method. This was method work. And that is our guest who we're about to bring out, Kendra James.
Yes.
Came to the Halloween show dressed as Candace and her boyfriend dressed as Chris, who was at points always dragging her back. And it was very embodied and full bodied.
Yes, it was. She is also, let's not forget, the producer at Love It or Leave It and Keep It with Crooked Media. And I also want to plug her new memoir, which is, you guys, fucking fantastic. It's called Admissions Memoir, a memoir of surviving boarding school, which we
wow.
will talk about too. And it's incredible. Kendra James. Hi.
Hi. Oh my gosh. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
We're thrilled to have you. And me thinks your tale of boarding school will be told better than Paris's.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Luckily, I was at one where it was not a wilderness camp, so to speak. It was not a Steve
okay.
Wilkos style
okay.
school.
It wasn't wilderness. Okay. We're so happy to have you. We're going to get into your book as well. But, you know, Kendra, sometimes there's just news we have to address right off the bat or it feels false, you know,
yeah.
for us. And that is the news that has come out of the valley.
Yes. Deep in the valley in a house that looks like many other houses.
a relationship has crumbled, and that is one half of Tom. Tom and Katie have divorced.
They did you? Yeah. Well, they're not divorced yet, Casey. As Tom
oh my God.
Said in his Instagram post, and I read both of them just to see where we were at. And I read both of them, and it said that he said that they're separated. And that it was Katie's choice, it seems to be. Mm. And that he is, you know, as Tom does, he just, things are thrust upon him and he deals with them accordingly. Kendra, what do you think of this break?
Well, it was a very lengthy post. And Tom's, I did not believe he wrote himself. I saw the word, the word whilst was in there. And that is not a word that, like, I know he was pre-med. I'm not trying to, like, doubt his intelligence or
he
anything.
He was?
I had no idea about that.
I doubt it.
I think he was like pre-med at University of Florida. That always jumped out,
Kendra.
Wow.
Yeah, but no. I mean, at least the real relationship hasn't broken up. He seems to still have a Tom.
That's right.
Yeah, that is.
You're
true.
Absolutely right. The real. You're looking really sunny side up.
Yeah.
The real relationship is still intact. I mean, you know, I hate Katie, and it's no shock. And he actually, I like that his 27-page long statement. kind of anticipated that hate for people like me. It was basically like, guys, we know we looked desperately unhappy for years, but really we had some good times.
I just also like, I don't love Katie either, but this feels like the right choice for her. She feels better off in this separation.
I think she's better off. I don't believe he wanted to have sex with her. Is that correct?
Oh, she certainly didn't want to have sex with him. That was what I always took. I always took it was radiating from him. And it wasn't that he didn't want to have sex. It was just that he was often too drunk or too medicated or too drugged to engage in that act.
Wow, Kendra.
Yeah, you have to be
coming
sort of
out swinging.
Yeah. And that was tough. Wow. That was, you know, look, any breakup of our couples, of our friends, is tough. And yet, guys, I just haven't been in since they all got older. And, you know, again, as an elder myself, I don't know how interesting I am. But they're between two worlds, which is between housewives, and they're not young enough for their drunken shenanigans to be fun for me anymore. So I've fallen off with them anyway.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, you know, I think we all know the summer houses and the thises and the thats and the below decks are the new Vanderpump, it seems.
Well, Candy and the Gang, too, and I would like to point out.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, do you like Candy and the Gang?
So I always have to wait. I have to give it like 5 to 6 episodes that I have piled up.
That's a lot of time, Kendra.
Well, I just, because I don't want to make a snap judgment, especially with Candy, who I find to be a queen. I want to give her
Absolutely.
Every opportunity to impress me.
And did she?
And where are we at? We're still only like 2 episodes in, 1 episode in.
So I'm still waiting. I'm going to sit down one weekend, like in a few weeks, and really just pile through them all.
Here's my, having never seen it, my issue is that Candy is so kind of likable and normal. And to me, the systems in her life are working. And of course, we have Mama Joyce as the outlier and then the aunties. But I'm just kind of like, is there going to be enough drama for me, frankly? Because Candy is so kind of normal and nice.
Well, there's a whole staff. And that's where I'm going to be looking to. Because I assume that Candy's right. going to be taking on that Vanderpump role. And so it's really the staff and those young people that we're going to be looking to, you know.
Those young people, yes. Kendra. Now I see. I stand corrected. I need to be looking at those young people.
And just like Lisa Vanderpump, she has many staffs. There's many restaurants. So you know how Sir and Villa Blanca and Pump, they all sort of interacted. You know, three right. different restaurants. I think we're going to get some interplay between, you know, and as I was a patron of the Old Lady Gang, which everybody knows I loved. It was delicious. I was served, I mean, not served, but brought to my table by one Ace, who was
Ace.
Like...
Wait, Ace the child?
Yeah. Yes!
Ace was the host.
He was the host. Look, every family, they put every family member to work.
I'm not sure that's legal, but I do love it.
Oh, I love it. I mean, Danielle is so lucky.
I felt lucky. He was, I want to say, 2 at the time. Like, this was.
And he said, right this way.
Oh,
right
what
this
fine
way.
Motor skills. That's so impressive.
He is. He's always been, you know, just old for his age. You know, he's an old soul. And that I felt, even in person, I felt we had a connection.
Oh, boy. I mean, circling back, Kendra, I will just say for myself, the reason I think I didn't know we would be focusing on those young people is, well, frankly, we have the restaurant's called Old Lady Gang. So I was like, what? I didn't know who we were following. And now I feel good.
Yeah, I feel better. We're not following Mama Joyce and the auntie.
And you know what? That's a fair critique. And I think she should hear that.
Okay. Okay. But I'm excited. You've kind of gotten my mind right. On that. So thank you. Yeah, you know, Tom and Katie are gone. It just seems like, you know, a lot is falling away.
So I do have a piece of Salt Lake news that I would like your opinion on. I was trolling through one of the various Facebook groups that I lurk in and saw that Jenny's 9-year-old daughter is doing cameos. And now I am not a mother. But to me, I don't love it.
And, you know, I've seen that. I don't even think I could bring myself to tell you that, Danielle. When I was flipping through Cameo, I saw it. And it was for something like $12.
It's 50 now.
Okay. Okay.
Wow.
That's like what Danielle and I charge at our meet and greet. Oh, my God.
I'm serious. It's crazy.
Part of me is like, I guess I need to order one. Okay. Wow. That is crazy. I'm sorry.
As a mother, I would not do that.
You wouldn't do that, Danielle, for less than 150.
No, no, okay. Definitely okay. Not. I'm gonna.
And she's available.
But I will say this also too. Like, I just feel like don't have your kids like doing something for money in that way right now. Like, it just feels like, where is that money going? Is it going to her allowance or her? I don't know. It feels creepy to me.
And who's ordering these? It's all.
What kind of requests are coming in? And like, who's doing that monitoring? I don't know. It just all feels weird, especially for one season on a reality program that you've now been like very publicly kicked off of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody's monitoring that, I think, is the answer. Wow. Now, you know, Lisa has come out this week in support of Jenny and saying she's, quote, all about everybody getting second chances and all about everybody learning and growing. She's all about a lot this week.
I'm curious what you have to say, Kendra, but I will have to say that, like, I too am for second chances, but I don't think that Jenny had any understanding of what she did or said or the effect it had, and maybe looking inner. So I don't think that change and growth and second chances can or should happen without growth. And I, you know what I mean? Or like self-awareness, I think. What do you think?
No, I completely agree. I mean, none of her supposed apologies. And again, this was stuff that was posted like recently.
Yeah, sure.
It was all in reaction to stuff that was happening in 2020. And there's a part of me that doesn't believe that that amount of growth that would be needed for that second chance could even happen in this short amount of time, especially since she has not said anything publicly to for us to think that that has happened.
Well, now she did have that Instagram Live with her.
Where she did have a Black friend. There was a Black friend.
Sitting sort of off to the side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she does speak to Black people, I guess. And, you know, that's something. I don't know. Race between Jenny and then the Jen Shah of it all, I really feel like race was used very interesting in this latter half of Salt Lake City, and both in ways that I'm not entirely comfortable with. But we can get to that in Jen's
I think we're here.
I think we're here.
We're here.
I think we're here.
Yeah, let's get into it. Yeah, how did you feel? Like, and I'm curious from both of you, like, you know, Jen actually was saying, and you know, and it was so interesting, actually. I thought that Andy, because I'll be honest, it didn't occur to me, did Stewart's kids get dragged out in the same way? And I thought that was like very interesting, and I would like to get to the bottom of that. And I guess I'm just curious about, you know, the comments Jen made about her and Coach Shah, and people, you know, simply always asking, because I think people were kind of asking, like, where does Jen get her money? And what do you guys think of that?
Oh, I think asking a housewife now in the year 2022, asking a housewife where she got her money, especially when she is living in a house of echoes, not like, like not a tchotchke, not a personal effect to be found. And yet she's,
not a photo.
Even if she was throwing down $20,000 for a birthday party, I would still have questions. But to know that it was $80,000, of course I'm allowed to ask that.
For a woman that hates her, clearly, and probably didn't even know her that well to begin with at that point.
Yeah, I mean, we lived through Teresa Giudice. We're currently living through Erica Jayne. That is a perfectly valid question. I don't think that race plays into that.
Yeah, I do think, obviously, so there are many racial issues that come up on the show, but this one in particular just seems housewife related to me, because I ask where all of them get their money unless I know that their husband did this thing or that they did this thing. I know where Candy's money comes from. I know where the, you know, Kyle's money comes from. I see it, but everybody else is under suspicion. I'm sorry. I don't know. Ramona's true religion? That shit, what is that jewelry?
I'm kind of waiting for that one.
Yeah, I don't know where anybody's money comes from. And I there's not a person in, or even I will say Heather Dubrow and Terry. I don't know. Their money is suspect to me too, because he's a plastic surgeon. Like, I don't know. Is there that much money in that? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to know what a botched check looks like. Like, I'm genuinely confused, because I mean, in that house, we can get to that too. But like, I don't think that there's anything wrong with asking that question. Now, what I do think the legitimate question was, like you said, the Stewart and his children of it all. I think that's totally fair, because what was done to Jen Shah's children was disgusting. And I also question her. Her finally, we found out that she is the one who leaked the ring footage. And I question that choice, too.
Really? Why is that? You don't think she was trying to show it to kind of say, hey, like, let's take a look at how terribly my children were treated, given that it really was like a multi-level marketing scheme? You know, like, this wasn't like the charges weren't associated, it would seem, on its face with like violence.
So, like, I understand both sides. And but there's part of me, and again, not a mom, but I kind of am like, that footage is now like that'll live on YouTube forever. So like they are able to relive that moment now, like without it ever fading. And I just don't know how I feel about that for them. They said one of those kids was 12, I think, like the nephew. And so I feel a little poorly about that. And I'm also like, the place that we are now, we know what police violence looks like. Like we can turn on the television and we can see it. I'm not sure that we needed that her kids needed to be put up as an example.
Yeah, I hear that. And it, especially because it was so traumatizing to them, like they lived it. It was so upsetting to watch. I'm sure that they don't want their trauma necessary. I mean, I don't know. I'm not her children, and they're not old enough to know what they want to do with that. You know what I'm saying? So like the fact that it's out there and they don't have probably, they don't have the right to say yes or no, or even the wherewithal, their children. You know what I mean? So that's tough too. Yeah, that was tough.
I was glad to get the answer though, because I had been wondering how they got that footage.
Yeah.
But she put that out there.
Yeah.
And it was interesting also to learn, if I may, that because remember we were like, Jen is the most incredible liar on planet Earth when she just swiftly was like, oh, Coach Shaw's having internal bleeding. Like, I gotta go. Although she did still seem like out of it, but I guess maybe you would be.
I still don't believe that guy.
I don't question the timeline. I question it.
Okay. I question that and completely.
I stand down.
The minute she started talking about that timeline that he was, I don't believe that that was the call she got. I'm not saying he wasn't at the doctor's or that he didn't have rectal bleeding. I think.
Danielle.
It's a truth. It's a truth.
Danielle.
It's a truth.
We can only repeat what we've been told.
He told the world. I'm just repeating what he said.
Tougher symptoms. Why did they cut to Seth after that? And he was just on that big screen just looking like, I was like, I really can't with the editors. Of all people that cut you, they were like, Seth, go to Seth.
Yeah, camera two to Seth. Guys, why can't Seth be there? He seems to be.
Oh, my God.
He seems to be willy-nilly around this country, moving jobs left and right. He's just like,
I won't be there. Like, I'm not going to interrupt my life for the show. Like, I'll come to parties and stuff, but I'm not going to be there. And he's always in obscure places.
Missouri. Was he in Missouri this time?
I think Ohio?
COVID is maybe the best thing that's ever happened to Seth for his participation on this program.
I'm also like, you have enough money to buy all this stuff for your family. It seems to be you're the workhorse in the family and doing the bulk of the work right now. You're not a boss.
Well, Meredith has a store.
That store is a kiosk, Casey. A kiosk.
It's a vending machine.
Moves from Sundance to Sundance.
Yeah, I mean,
picks up and goes. It's a pop-up.
Yeah.
It's no, guys, I was at pop-ups all weekend. This is a pop. It's not even an up. It's a pop. It's a closet.
It's just a quick pop.
Okay. But I will say, like, if he's making that much money, he's in a position to say, guys, I got to go for 24 hours to be at my wife's reunion. So to me, he doesn't want to be there.
Which is fine, because like if he is being forced to be there and he doesn't want to, that's how you get Ryan/Ryan. And
right, we want that even. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Now, Jen, it is true. Andy said a good thing. It's like Coach Shaw is the, you know, benefactor on some level of the money from this scheme, the way that Erica is the benefactor for money from that scheme. And I personally think that Coach Shaw isn't getting it like Erica got it because...
Oh, God, no. But Coach Shaw doesn't have a song called It's Expensive to Be Me. Yeah.
Exactly. And he's not funneling money. Like, even before she was on Real Housewives, he was propping up a career. Like, her career happened because he poured money into this for her. So it was exploited. That money came from these people. Whereas she's doing things, but it seems to be mostly for her, to me.
And also, Coach Shaw, just the way he explained, like, oh, I have nothing to do with it. I've never seen someone just explain something calmly, plainly. And I was like, great, got it. Believe you. We'll never question you. Like, that was just an exercise in just like, oh, no, I've never been connected with it. And I never will. And I was like, and you never will. Thank you.
And we also know that, like, he goes to a job every day, which is not something that we knew about Erica.
I guess we were watching her on her job. Some could argue.
Well, there's that the job. Real Housewives job. But still, the Real Housewives, especially, like, they're not making the type of money that they're spending. They're just not.
They're just not.
And we know that.
I also believe because Shaw works for a public university, his salary is a matter of public record.
Yes.
Yeah,
so Danielle and
it.
I have looked
we've
it
seen
up.
It.
Yeah.
So that's also helpful, which Erica Jane, God knows.
Right. There's no public record for how much it costs to go to Mykonos and perform with your glam team. You know, I did appreciate that Coach Shaw was wearing a purple blouse to match his wife. And I thought, if that's not solidarity in the face of...
He loves her.
Yes.
He loves her. When you have that support, maybe you are going to be easy breezy when you're under arrest. I don't know. You know, the fact that...
Yeah, my husband would be like, I'm out. And I'm not showing up at a reunion. Like, I'm not even here with you. Like, it's not good times and bad times in my house.
I would like him to take some of that love and maybe use it towards explaining to his wife how serious all of this is. She does not seem to understand the gravity of the situation, and I can't tell if that's an act.
I appreciate that, Kendra. I am I'm tired of being down in the dumps. I need a bright spot. And I actually thank her for the easy breeziness with which she's dealing with.
Well, it's like you tell people how to treat you. And Jen is telling us how to treat her, which is like, this is nothing. And Erica told us how to treat her, which is like, this is a... And again, I would not be happy if these things were happening to me. So, you know.
I hope that works with the judge.
It won't. Oh, it won't. Just because it works with an audience, it's going to have the opposite. And I also think she's doubling down on things like when we're seeing her in her hair and makeup, she's in a Gucci robe. I just feel like let's get those things on the real, you know, like let's sell.
You know, I'll buy it, Danielle. Yeah.
Oh, I'd buy it in a second. You could go right to me wholesale.
Yeah, that's right. Cut out the middleman with me. You know, my notes on Salt Lake are tough. It's just simply... where is Seth? A million question marks. And then Seth looks gorgeous in that dark blue suit. And then rectal bleeding.
Those are your three notes.
Three beautiful notes.
I did want us to remember that Heather said definitively, I will be in court every day. There was no modifier to that statement. And I'd like us to watch that to just like see if she follows through.
Oh, she
will. Okay. Keep our eyes on this. Yeah. This is good. Now, what did you guys think about when Heather kind of called Lisa over on the couch and was suddenly like, you know, I love you. I was like, what's happening?
It was so, I was like, this is a moment I did not see coming. I think Heather really toggles between still wanting this version of a popular girl to like her and also knowing that Lisa's a terrible person. And I think that she just wavers because there's still that young girl in her that wasn't accepted. Personally, what do you think, Kendra?
No, I agree. And I mean, I would love to know a little bit more about their BYU backstory, like and how close they actually were. That's like one thing that I've never been able to suss out. But Heather at reunions is also just always so interesting because it's a completely different personality than we're getting on the regular show. And I never quite know what to do with that or like what to trust. I don't know who the real Heather is. I know you guys have met her. But like, it's hard for me as just a viewer from afar to know who she is.
I hear that. Look, I think that she is who she says she is. And that person, you know, has a dichotomy sometimes. And she does come out swinging at reunions. She did the last one and she came out this
one. Yeah, she did.
But she is, I think, and again, we only knew her for an hour, but I think she is who you think she is. You know what I mean?
Danielle, like, but that hour felt like a lifetime in a great way. I think so too, Danielle. And I do think, sadly, there's still this, and I have this too, this kind of thing of Heather of like, oh, this girl was mean to me in high school or whatever happened. That's like, I still kind of crave her approval and I'm going hard at her, but actually I still want to be friends with her and want her to like me. And I also just think Heather's a nice person. Ultimately, I don't think she can allow for these huge, like, cavernous chasms. problems between people?
Look what Jen Shah has said about her. And she's like, we're okay. I'll be at your... Like, she called her Shrek. I'm sorry. To be at someone's trial every day after the things she said, like, that is shocking.
And that's, like, really hard to have come up when she's sitting there dressed like Yzma from The Emperor's New Groove. Like, it's, like, just...
Very hard.
Really hard.
Wow, yeah.
The Emperor's New Groove. I love that.
I would like to...
It is very hard.
I would like to congratulate Andy on a moment.
Yeah.
Which was reciting word for word Lisa's rant to Meredith. Like, to
it
have
was gorgeous.
Sit there, just sit in the sweat of that rant. Wow.
Well, I mean, that's going to be taught at Tisch. So I understand, like, people getting it memorized. That's a monologue.
That's absolutely right. And I would have done that instead of the monologue I did for Tisch, which was playing both roles in the play Night Mother, in which a mom shoots herself. And I was like, shot myself, then went back and played the daughter.
No, Casey,
you would think I'd go the other way and play the daughter, then the 60-year-old mom. But I was like, spoiler alert. Anyway, I would like, wish I did that monologue. You know, I think you're absolutely right, Danielle. Andy, both with the way his suit was stood out as such a million miles above their look. So that was also gorgeous. But to see Lisa when she sat down next to Meredith and Meredith is so smart. Meredith's like, we can't talk off camera. Like, stop.
Yeah.
And then Andy's like, now, Lisa, where do you guys think you are? And she was like, I think we have a little work to do. Smiling. She's like, that's going to be a little more work. I'm like, this woman.
Well, she said, I said all that horrible stuff about you because people were telling me that you made fun of my renovation. I was like, what?
First of all, you're renovating a house you don't own. Like, I don't believe that.
Wow, Kendra.
Wow.
I'm sorry. But
wow. Slam.
Again, it's another house with just, like, nothing in it. And maybe that is because of the renovation. I don't know. But I found that hard to believe.
Is there a housewife's house? I'm asking you guys to think back, though, for real, including ones that we know are owned, okay? Like, even Kyle's, and I know people are going to try to come at me for this, but I've been in that home. Is there one that feels like it's personalized or there's a little something?
Well, I wonder, in some of it, like in shooting, you can't have like artwork and stuff. Like, isn't there?
I guess Lisa Rinna's house feels quite
lived in.
Cozy.
And I will say Sonia's townhouse is nothing's more lived in than that townhouse.
That's true.
Townhouse. Right. It's been pissed in, shat in, everything.
Yellow ice. Like, there is no doubt.
Rat feces everywhere. I know I want to talk.
It's lived in. But I will say the Salt Lake houses in particularly feel cavernous and rented. And I don't mean like rented like you're renting this over years. I mean rented like we're renting this for a month.
For the shoot that we're doing right now.
Like, because I've rented many times for years in my life. And it looks like a piece of shit.
a person lives there. I refer lovingly to my apartment as like a season 3 Vanderpump Rules apartment. And so it's not super nice, but it's lived in.
Yes.
Right. But there's sign of human activity.
Yeah.
Signs of intelligent life in the universe. So any other things for Salt Lake? You know, it ended kind of like abruptly. It was an interesting season. You know, we don't have Mary, of course, dying to see what comes next and who we add and where we go from here. I just don't know if we can top what just happened, but I guess we're going to be living out now Jen's trial. Am I wrong?
Well, the trial has been pushed to July, so I'm like wondering how that's going to affect filming.
I don't like to hear that.
Yeah, and I would, and also I don't know the location, if it's in New York or if it's in Utah. Like that, I think also is.
I think the trial is in New York. I think because the district attorney that's prosecuting.
Well, what are we supposed to do with that?
Go to New York, baby. Yeah,
well, Bravo better get their cameras over there.
Yeah, Bravo will be there.
You're right. Will Heather be there every day?
I want to believe it. But I think for me, that's going to be a true test. It's like you said it on national television. You didn't codify it. Like, let's see if it happens.
And you know Jen will be like, you said you were going to be there every day and you're only there 57 days out of 62. You're a terrible friend. Oh, man. You know, yeah, I guess maybe, we'll move on to Jersey unless there's any other parting thoughts as we send off Salt Lake as a franchise, you know, until we meet again.
Happy trails until we meet again, guys.
Happy trails. And I guess Jen will know more. You know, I do know that she's currently selling some merch that says
Free Jen Shah. Which I think is horrible.
I think those are movements you kind of want others to start.
Yeah, it seems to be on her website.
Again, I'd like to go back to the idea of let's sell some of those designer clothes instead. You're probably going to make more money and it looks less bad.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Let's start there.
Yeah.
Although the real, it's way better like for the buyer than the seller. Anyway.
Anyway. Oh, wow. Okay. Good to know.
Yeah. Let's take a little break and come back with Jersey.
And we're back with Jersey. And again, still in the summer of love. Just having the summer of my life. And like, look, Jen is the most interesting thing going on right now. And not just because her husband cheated, which is terrible, but because of everything around the cheating in terms of like, they haven't spoken about it for some 10 years, it seems, or 8 years. She didn't tell her family. It is so painful for her. There's a dynamic between them. Plus, she was looking at into other people's lives for cheat. Like, the dynamics are fascinating to me.
And I think she looks cute as hell.
Those natural curls. Every time the natural curls come out, I love it.
Thank you. That cute little sun hat. I think she looks very cute in her little...
When she was at the bagel shop with her hair back.
That's the one I'm thinking of.
This is Jen's look. I don't need all the makeup. I don't need all the hair. Like, her just being, she looks so young. She looked fresh.
Jen being Jen. Jen being she looks Jen. Very fresh.
Yes. And when she's with her brother, who I love.
I love her brother.
Like, that felt like such a real, I saw the real Jen. And I was happy to see
her. But guys, how crazy is it? And I think we get this opportunity with the Housewives in general to watch generations repeat generational behaviors. And it's so, we can just see it so strongly in this setting. Like, you know, we've known what's going on with Jen's mom and how much she hates the dad and the bitterness that's kind of taken over her life. And then you can understand, well, God, Jen doesn't want to leave her husband. It's just so, but it's like now then even she's saying like, do I deserve this? I deserve better than this. Do I hang on? Very dark, actually.
I mean, I felt it was like it connected to Salt Lake really well when like Sharif and Doi were talking about like go to therapy, like black and brown men must go to therapy. And you really see it come out with Bill when she said something about like, he's afraid that we're going to open Pandora's box if we start talking about this specific incident, which makes me wonder, like, what the hell else has happened in this marriage?
A lot.
Yeah.
Everyone loves to be like, this was 10 years ago, guys. So it's like, we're good here. It's like, right, but they never talked about it one time.
It's like she taught her mind and her body to be okay with it. And she tricked herself for a little while, but there you can't trick yourself forever. And I'm not saying people can't get through affairs and terrible things, but you can't do it without communication and talking about it, or at least not in a healthy way. And it is so dark. And I want them to rip open Pandora's box. Like, I want them to, like, get the ugly out there.
Yeah. And, like, the way, I mean, she has behaved terribly over her past seasons. Like, there's no getting around that. The way she has treated Marge is horrid. But the way her chin started quivering in that final confessional that she did, I really felt for her. And I want the best for her. And I can't believe
I thought
I'm
you were going
that.
Somewhere else when you said chin. And I was like, oh, here we go. Okay. I was like, I'm ready. But no. And that was a really nice surprise. Guys, I agree with you. I felt for her too. I know she's terrible, but I don't know why something makes I like Jen.
Me too, yeah, guys. Yeah. And can I say, as terrible as she's been to Marge, for Marge to release, Marge released her own information. You know what I'm saying? Like, Marge told us, which is why you should. It's like, tell us how to treat you, Casey, as you said. It's like she put her skeletons out there because she's like, these are my skeletons. I'm tough enough to handle, even though it hurts what this bitch has to say about it. Like, I'm healed, you know, for the most part. And so I've dealt with my ghosts. So you can't really hurt me. Where Jen hadn't put any of that out there. So for somebody else to be the one to put that out there, oh, it's
and Marge, tough. Marge had adult kids.
Not only that, Marge had already suffered the major, major fallout with her stepkids. Like that had already taken place. You're right.
This was actually said at the reunion last year, and it was cut. That is what I have heard by Marge.
Damn. So Marge was like, no problem. I'll get it out.
Yeah.
First episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's always like, okay, I can get Marge wanting
Although I guess, you know, she wanted revenge, whatever. Then we have what happened with Jackie and Teresa, which is sort of connected to this. But there's just something about the way Marge is so self-satisfied with it that doesn't sit well. It's like, right, at the end of the day, there's kids.
Yeah. And speaking of revenge, like as someone who has been very good at getting it in their life, I'm afraid of Jen's mother. I don't know what's coming, but I'm afraid.
Yeah, very much so. Now, speaking of mothers and fathers, I'd love to talk about Dolores's mom and her dad, Larry. They're so cute, aren't they? I hope her mom's okay.
I feel like she is, or we would have heard something, but I don't know.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
I love Dolores.
Guys, is this not Dolores' season? She's bloomed like a flower. This is Dolores'
season.
She's
never looked better either.
Thank you.
Oh, my God.
People who say surgeries aren't great, you know what? Take a look at Dolores. She looks like a million bucks.
She's done great work. I don't know who's doing it, but like, it's perfect.
Yep.
No notes.
No
None. Not a one.
Not one.
And she can put out a spread with the best of them.
With the best spread in the bunch.
Oh, how good does her, like, oh, I want to say subdivision. I don't know if that's the right word, but like the pool and the tennis court. It's just like the suburban life. Don't you guys just feel like you're being wrapped in love and warmth and want to be there?
And like, I'm not religious, but like when her mom was like, I sit out here, I do my rosaries. I love that.
Love it all. Love it all. My son walked by and he's just learning how to read. And Dolores' dad was on screen with a Kyra and he goes, well, there's Larry. Like, yeah, that is Larry. In his mind, Larry's like the character I've been following this whole time. Dolores' father, Larry.
My daughter goes, I haven't let my daughter really watch Housewives when she was younger. She would sort of like overhear, you know, because I felt like she couldn't understand it. But mostly as she's grown up and sort of, and she did name one of her dolls Nene, which shows you the sort of
yeah, the world
education verb. I was giving her. But I will say that I haven't let her kind of like into the world. She just knows I watch it. But we were in a hotel, and so she had like earphones on and I was watching.
Don't try to make excuses, Danielle.
She took off her earphones and she goes, Mom, this is just like gossip, right? And I was like, yes, and that's bad. And I only watch it for because it's my work.
My God, Danielle. I love it. Well, look, you know,
I just didn't want to explain to her how it's relaxing to watch women argue.
Little guy, my four-year-old, I also wrote this down because he walked in the scene of Jen Aiden and her daughter when they were talking. That like tough scene when she was at the...
Oh, yes.
And then he just said something very strange, which then I'm like, is there a deeper meaning here? He just goes, oh, are they nocturnal, mama? I was like, huh. I don't know where that came from, but I said, yes, they are.
Honestly, I actually think this franchise spends the most time in the daylight. Now that I'm thinking about
they are the opposite of vampires. Okay, I really want to just go over the red faces because I know we've talked about them at length, okay? So we know about, you know, Louis's face, we know about Joe's face, but it is spreading, guys. This fire is spreading. Now we've got Evan, red as can be. Yeah. Okay, and now we're having even Joe Benigno is like a crispy maroon. I have never seen, it's like an epidemic.
It's like not a hat or a bottle of SPF to be found. Like,
oh God.
But I am wondering, is it the color correction on the show?
No.
Because now the gals are even looking pretty red.
No, this is, as someone like from New Jersey, like I just think this is just shore life. This is just okay, what happens.
This is shore.
Yeah.
Shore life.
Now, I'll tell you who's got some balls. A man named Tiki Barber. That lovely, normal Tiki Barber, who basically is like, you know what? I feel like he said to himself, fuck it. I'm going to jump into this fray and save my wife's job. He's like, hey, Louie, did you commit domestic violence before the tacos come?
That was,
just let me know.
I mean, I was like, Tiki Barber to be the one to sort of speak up was like.
With no judgment, it was fairly just kind of like, hey, what's up with that?
Yeah. He's a journalist.
Yes or no? I'll take yes or a no.
Yeah. I mean, is it not insane to see like this Adonis just sort of like walking amongst these Jersey men? Like,
so upsetting, and have to pretend he's like laughing along and
also
finding
that
them
they're
fun,
relating to him one on one. And I'm like, he's above you guys. Like, he was a
but he
NFL
doesn't make
superstar.
Them feel that way, which is actually even more upsetting. You know, well,
and I think
because if he's graceful,
I want them to know their place when Tiki's around.
Well, I think that they all think that this is really cool. Like for a bunch of Jersey guys, they are hanging out with an ex NFL player. This is the coolest thing that has ever happened to them.
Absolutely,
like, beyond Bravo.
Right.
Yeah, this is it.
I feel like they should just, you know, just kowtow to him a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, he's a superstar. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I just want a little more for him. And then to see him, to kind of like muddle in the fray was just, it was, you know, but maybe they felt like, oh, he'll answer Tiki. He's such a superstar that like, you're going to tell the truth to Tiki, which.
And Louis didn't seem to take much offense. No. He was like, no, that's not the case. Thanks for asking, Tiki. He was like, but she did try to like butcher someone with an axe. I was like, but. Okay, guys, when Bill got mad, okay, and walked out, I screamed with laughter when he was in the parking lot. It just made me laugh so hard. It's like after a fight over your infidelity to just be like, these people are crazy and get into a red convertible Ferrari. It's like, yeah, buddy, you cheated. You're cheating. This is like just a midlife crisis car and just like pull off.
I knew everything about him that I needed to know
in that moment.
In that moment. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is who you are. You're having a midlife crisis that has lasted a long time to get into that Ferrari.
And Evan did not back. Evan was right there in the fray.
Good for him. I mean, this woman, like, his wife tried to kind of ruin his life. It wasn't even an attack on his wife. It was a direct attack on him. I get it. Also, I think Bill, like, made a bad calculation trying to blame that on Teresa, because I am now really excited to find out what happens when Teresa sees this episode.
Well, you know, I just saw Teresa on Watch What Happens Live, in which she said that she did not ask Melissa to be one of her 8 bridesmaids. And for whatever reason, they stacked Jen and Melissa up against each other with all these questions. And you could just tell Teresa wanted to, for all the nice ones, was like really frustrated she couldn't just say Jen. It would be like best style. And she was like, and they're like nicest. She's like, it was just wild. Now, speaking of Teresa, I could just say one thing. You know, there's the beautiful scene in the bathroom with Teresa and Gia. And the whole time I'm like, that's really sweet that like Gia's friend is close enough with them to get in on one of those conversations, you know, and like even supporting Gia and wearing like a shirt that says like, woke up in the morning. And then every fucking scene, I'm like, God damn it, that's their sister, Gabriella.
And isn't it crazy? Like, because we've always thought that she was the odd one out. We're like, who are you? Where did you come from? But then to hear, this is the most she's ever spoken.
I was like, we've not heard more than a word of a moan. Like, you know,
meant to be slamming 41-year-olds? How dare you, Gabriella? How dare?
Yeah, and like to hear Teresa's exact voice come out of a face that looks nothing like the other daughters or Teresa was wild. Like, I wasn't expecting her to sound like that. But that's
very jarring.
It's Teresa's daughter.
And Gia with that egg burrito. It was a wild scene. I've never seen kids. A mom is literally pouring her heart out. Like, I started crying when I really think when they showed that clips package of like what this woman's been through, it really sunk in for me. Like, this woman left her children to go to jail, year of their life, for a crime she doesn't commit. Like, can't we just let her be happy with Louis? Like, who fucking cares? Obviously, if he's a bad guy, okay. But her kids are just not giving it up. She's like, he's a great guy, isn't he? And they're like, hey. She's like, another bite of that burrito.
Every time I have to hear the Here Comes My Bitch Wife clip, like, it's really rough. And like,
I almost felt like the editors keep being like, no, no, Gia and co, take a look at this.
Yeah.
Also, can we talk about Teresa's makeup counter? Like, it was.
Go ahead.
It was stacked to the gills. There were like 3 of them. And then there was like that little rolly cart next. You know what I mean? It was just. Yeah.
Well, but Danielle, when you think about it, she's doing her own makeup. Like, Teresa's the Kyle of New Jersey, it feels like. She's just like, I'm doing my own.
I just feel like there are bottles that are not being used. And I need the clearing of clutter, especially if we're putting it on national TV.
You wouldn't mind a little weed.
Yeah, I just want to, like, just weed out. You know,
who should come in, Danielle, is I was in Houston 2 weeks ago and sitting, having a cocktail at the hotel. And guess who comes up to me? The gals from The Home Edit.
That's who we need.
And, you know, we need to get them in there, I would think.
Yeah, I just want, you know, I'm sure there's a few dry tubes, you know what I mean, of lipstick. Just some things.
Right, a lot of dry mascara tubes.
Yeah, some cracked eyeshadow. I got to get in there.
On the other hand, do I believe she lives in that house?
Yeah.
Fully.
Okay, so, okay. So So you don't, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Though that is also like a marble mausoleum.
Yeah.
It's lived in. Like, there, she doesn't have enough furniture to fill it. It's the biggest house in any of them.
But it did feel a little too lived in for
yeah,
you.
Yeah. I just, there's like eggplant parmesan, old eggplant parmesan on like walls. You know what I mean? Like, it just feel yeah. like when, from Joe getting angry and being like, fucking my bitch wife. You know, like,
there's like drywall spots just punched
yeah,
in.
Yeah. Like, there's like punched it. Like, it's, there's, that house is, yeah. I'm glad for them to get out of that house. That house yeah. started this whole thing. Because remember?
Yes.
First season, they built that monstrosity. And that's started
right.
this whole mess. I am glad for
we're them paying cash for the furniture in that house.
Yes.
And that got us
peeling
here. You're right.
Bills on camera.
Right. Now, guys, there was a commercial in the end of Jersey that, you know, we've seen them wrangle the housewives into commercials for movies and stuff, but this felt like a new way in, where I feel like the producers of that new movie with Sandra Bullock and Channing Tatum were like, or is it Channing Tatum? It
yeah,
was,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like they're like, okay, these are Bravo, these are gals watching this, you know? So the entire commercial was about Sandra Bullock's jumpsuit that she wears in the movie.
Oh.
I was like, no, this is a different way in. It was like her back, her be like talking about the movie. She was like, that jumpsuit was very hard to wear. And then it was just like all these shots of her in this pink sequin jumpsuit. But she was like, girl loves her jumpsuits. And I was like, is this for us?
Is that for the this, Jersey like, women?
Yeah, like weird behind the scenes jumpsuit ad. But it did make me.
I mean, I Teresa know. And Melissa have been known to love a jumpsuit. So maybe.
Right. You're absolutely right. It felt pointed. I was just like, these are different things that are happening now on Bravo in terms of ads and getting people to movies. They've always been on the forefront of that.
Integrated marketing?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Kendra.
Integrated marketing. And now they've gone another step. Guys, is there anything else?
That's all I have to say about Jersey. Anything from you, Kendra?
I mean, the only thing I was going to mention briefly was that conversation between Melissa and Antonia. Which, like, really upset me.
I blocked that out.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, I just...
Go ahead.
I've all... Since Ultimate Girls Trip, I've really been coming around more on Teresa. Like, I think we all have. She just seems
yes.
like a sweetheart.
Yes.
And I was coming a little bit more around on Melissa, too, because I've never... The fake storylines, the kind of one-note presence on the show. But I was like, okay, this is a cool girl. She can have fun. And then to hear her, like, just telling her daughter, who just had a traumatic injury, an ACL is no joke, that yep. she just needs to get back on the horse. And
that's not an option?
Yeah. And to have uprooted her in the middle of her high school career.
So that the boys could play football?
Yeah.
That made me ill.
And then she's like, I did factor in you. But basically, like, but the conclusion I came to was not for you.
They're more important. She made it very clear. Where it's like, it's all the same. Those
right.
kids aren't playing pro ball. Whatever. I'm sorry.
At least
They're
tell
not.
Your kids, like, we're doing this for a house. Like, I don't know. That's
but
fucked up.
But to make it very clear that what you're doing, that you're doing now, that they just hope to do later is more important, what they hope to do later, than what you're... I was sick about that. It
yeah.
made it very clear the dynamics in that house, how men are valued more than women in that house.
Which Melissa says she hates.
But then she did it.
Well,
it
again, repeating
Ill.
Patterns. We're just yeah. like, we continuously are repeating patterns. And it's like, I'm a figure skater. I've hurt myself doing stuff. Like, I've broken bones. And it, then doing that same trick that you broke something on before, no matter how hard or how simple it is, there's a mental block there. And to just like be trying to push that on your 16-year-old,
And I felt what was kind of spoken and unspoken with the boxing lessons and she just, I keep staying on her and all this, to me felt like Melissa's insecurities about weight or something. I don't know what it quite was, but it really rubbed me the wrong way. Like, your daughter's in pain
because
emotionally
Melissa's
and physically.
A villain, and I've really seen this year. She's a villain. And a listener just sent this to me, and I don't have it in front of me, but whoever you are, this really like opened my eyes.
Whoever you are, thank you.
Whoever you are, thank you. But she said, Melissa is bad because if she were the good aunt and the wonderful person and the great who loves her niece so much, when Teresa went away to prison, she would have been in there being that helpful mother figure to them. And they wouldn't be constantly acting like, oh, we haven't seen you in so long. They all live in New Jersey, not far. I mean, I'm not from New Jersey, but it's not a big state, right?
It's not that far. They're all like up in the Bergen County area. Like, it's not too hard for them to do this.
And the fact that there is like no contact between her and those kids, especially when their mother fucking went away. guys.
Mm-mm. Yes.
Yeah. No, she's not what
you're right. And I'll tell you something else. Joe, you don't need any more shots. No, but like, seriously, guys, you guys are laughing. I'm serious. It's too many.
Not going to lie. There was one scene this episode where he was talking to Melissa and the full gray beard started to work on me. And wow. That's just something that I have to deal with personally.
Right. It's like, we can't work that out for you here. No. But I think this is a start. Yeah. What you said.
Admission. All of us. Admission of guilt. Admission. The first step. I mean, after Housewives, I do feel like this is Housewives adjacent is your book, Kendra, because it is all about your life as a boarding school student. And you also graduated from the school that Sonia's daughter graduated from like last year. So that just tells you a little about the school, who we're dealing with. So
yes.
I started your book. I'm so excited to finish it. And it's incredible. I'm a huge boarding school nerd. I didn't go to boarding school. What I mean is that I wanted to. I begged my parents. I was like, please, you don't even like me that much. Like, send me to where the glamorous people go. My parents were like, no, you're going to be home in public school. We can't afford that. And we're not sending you away, which is upsetting. But I grew up watching like Facts of Life and just like that sort of thing. So let's talk a little bit about your book and just talk a little bit about it.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's funny. Quincy Morgan did graduate from my school last year. And it's funny because one of my roommates everyone in the book has an alias except for like a few key figures at the school. Because it's like when you go to a place that only has ever had five heads of school, hiding one it's hard. So my sophomore year roommate was another like what I call a Gilded Age family, much like the Morgans. So it's like that is like literally the level of people that you're dealing with here. So it's called Admissions, a memoir of surviving boarding school. And it's about the 3 years that I spent there and the fact that I was the first Black American legacy to graduate, which means my dad had gone there in the 70s.
Amazing.
And so then he sent me back. I graduated. And so it's about that. And then also the fact that when I left college, I ended up working in admissions in New York City. So I did preschool, middle school, and some high school admissions in New York, and what that experience is like, and how that kind of caused me to sit down and reflect on what it really meant to be taking low-income students of color from the New York City public school system and putting them into these like elite institutions that weren't always the best environments to be placing children in.
I'm sure. And you talk a little bit at the beginning, and I don't want to give away, but you sort of start the book of you leading one of these sort of like experiences where all the parents, all these hopeful parents come because they want to give their children, quote unquote, a better way of life and admission to, you know, like the elite society and the great jobs that, you know, all these other kids have gotten. And I get that need as a parent where you're just like, oh my God, I want my kid to do better and have those things that I didn't have. I want them to have a step up. But what are we sacrificing? And how you say you were like, I was so good at it. And you see, you are really good at it. You know what I mean? Like you see in the book, like you're incredible at telling them the exact things that they want to hear, but then you analyzing. And it's also done with, guys, this book is so funny too. You know what I mean?
Because
you're funny. You know what I'm saying? So it is talking about a subject that is very serious at times, but it's also funny and poignant. And I don't know. I just think it's so good. And I will say Vogue magazine, guys, unrelated. I was going through, I always get like lists of like the best books. I'm such a big reader. And Vogue magazine, huge. And it's very like readery. And you know what I mean? It's not just fashion. They're very highbrow in terms of like the best shows, the best books, like everything. They chose this book as one of their top books of the year. If that doesn't tell you something that this book is for you, I don't know what you're doing with your life, but it's really exciting. How do you feel now that you've birthed this into the world? And it does feel Housewives adjacent to me. It feels like our crowd will like this book because it feels like in the world of like money, but then feeling like an outsider and all of, you know what I mean? It just feels.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, like if you don't think that like, of course, Shannon Bedore did say on this week's episode that her kids are in public school. But like, if you don't think that like the DeBro kids or like the kids on Beverly Hills, even the kids in Potomac, because there's like so many independent schools in that area, like, all of these kids are going to these schools.
Yes.
And so, like, it would not, it's definitely of that world. And I think it'll give you some insights into specifically, like, occasionally, like, say, how you see the New York City women deal with race. It might give you some insights as to why that is.
I was thinking that as I was reading. I was like, because we have basically in the last few years, you know, they used to keep it very separate. You know what I mean? And they have tried to, like, put people together now in a way. And it's, you know, like, there are struggles. And I did think that there was I think you're right. There is.
Yeah.
You sort of see that too. It's comparable in some ways.
My Gilded Age roommate from my sophomore year, like, I'm pretty convinced I was the first Black person that she, like, ever had to continuously talk to, like, that she had to interact with every single day. And then, like, even early on in the book, I tell a story about, like, how, so my younger brother is adopted, and I told kids that at, like, a group of white girls that at school, and they were like, "What?" Because they didn't understand that not only could Black family, like, did Black families adopt children? Because it was seen, like, we were in the era of, like, Angelina Jolie doing her very public international adoptions and, like, Hugh Jackman adopting kids. But, like, so they didn't know that Black families would adopt. And then were also confused about, like, my parents, like, adopted a Black child from America, like, from New Jersey.
I'm so sorry.
Which is, like, it's funny, but it's, like, also, like, oh my God, you guys were, like, 15 years old and you're realizing this now.
I just think sometimes, you know, we laugh so we don't cry. I don't know, but.
No, that's my philosophy. It's, like, and that's why I tried to, like, put so much humor in the book, because, like.
You did. You succeed. You do. You do. It's very fun. And you're funny. You can't help it. You infuse it with humor because you're funny.
Thank you.
Congratulations. It's so exciting. So it's called Admissions, a memoir of surviving boarding school, if I could only say memoir right, by Kendra James. And she's so funny, as you guys can tell from this podcast. And thank you so much for coming on. This is so exciting.
And then there was one other thing that I will say to you. And
please.
So I came to your live show dressed as Candace with my now husband. He was Chris.
Yes, it was amazing. It was honestly, and it was not just, it was the performance really. Your performance was incredible. That's what just, like, we'll never forget it ever.
And the wild thing about that is you guys are actually the reason we met.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. You guys are, like, the reason I am married. So we met at a party, like, out in San Diego, but then we got back home to Harlem and we were messaging on Tinder after we matched, and we were just talking about random stuff, and I was not sure if I was going to give him my phone number, but then we started talking about television, and I said I watched all this reality stuff, and he was like, "Yeah, I don't watch the shows, but I do listen to these two funny women who, like, talk about them every week." And I was like, "Are you talking about Bitch Sesh?" This was in 2016.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, "Yeah, I am." And I was like, "Oh, okay, I found, like, a man who lives four blocks away from me in New York City," which is, like, amazing.
Crazy.
Yeah. Who also listens to Bitch Sesh and seems to be open to watching Bravo with me. Let's do this.
Yeah. Oh, God, we made a match.
Yeah.
This is so exciting. Oh, I feel proud. I feel proud.
No, so I have to thank you guys because, we've been married for over a year now. It's lovely.
Wow, we did it. We see, good thing we're not just garbage humans.
Oh, my gosh. No, not at all.
That's such good to know. Thank you for that.
Of course.
Kendra James, please tell us where we can find you. You've been absolutely lovely. Thank you for being with us. We need to have you back because I feel like we only got two cities out with you and we need more.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. I'm new to OC anyway. So, like, give me some time to absorb more. But yeah, you can find me at Kendra James_ on both Twitter and Instagram. I do have the same name as an adult film star.
Yes.
You might see her, but I'm
no
the
problem.
Black one and she's the white one. And that's just an easy way to differentiate.
That's just easy.
Us.
Yeah, I like that.
Very sexual, sensual beings.
Yeah. Both gorgeous gals. Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you again to Kendra James and to Caitlin and Amelia, everyone at Earwolf. And thank you, Danielle.
Thank me too, Casey.
Okay.
Bye.